Hope everyone's having a great weekend. This is our week in review, a look back at some of the most compelling segments of this past week. Brand new episodes back again Monday morning at 5 a.m. here in the podcast.
This is the examination of the hidden human condition.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Scott Roeder of Evidence Room, and we are talking about the case of Stephen Smith. Scott has now had a chance to take a more in-depth look as someone who deals with forensic evidence for a living at the autopsies of Stephen Smith. And I want to just throw it to you, get your input, get your thoughts on the various documents that exist on this, from the original autopsy to the original reports to the new autopsy that was taken not that long ago of the body of Stephen Smith when it was exhumed. Scott, what have you been finding?
Well, I find it very interesting. The I believe it's the county coroner at the time in 2015 where Stephen Smith's body was recovered in the road. The coroner at that time, who is now a funeral director in that area of Charleston, South Carolina, was a guy by the name of Dr. Ernie Washington. Mm-hmm. And he determined at the scene that it looked like Stephen Smith had been shot with a gun. He was a gunshot victim. Yeah. In addition to that, the sheriff and the first responder on the scene both indicated in their official reports that there was no debris, as if a car had crashed into something. There was no skid marks. There was actually no evidence whatsoever of any kind of an automobile-related accident. And then the actual autopsy was performed by a different county, and this is going to be a local issue because certain counties have jurisdiction, right? So it could be the jurisdiction where Stephen Smith lived versus the jurisdiction where he was found deceased. And it depends on, you know, each county who gets the authority to do the official autopsy and so on. Mm-hmm. So a Dr. Aaron Prezel, I believe that's how you pronounce it, was the medical examiner at the time, mm-hmm. and who did the official autopsy. And she came to the conclusion that Stephen Smith had died from a hit-and-run car accident based upon possibly information provided to her. Now, I find that extremely suspect in that you could have a qualified coroner respond to the scene and determine this is a gunshot wound. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the body was dumped there on the road versus somebody doing the actual autopsy and have a totally different conclusion of a hit and run car accident with no evidence of that. So I'm not quite sure what that doctor saw when she performed that autopsy, but I think that is going to be under close examination going forward, because I don't know how you could mistake a gunshot wound for a car accident, Tony.
How often do we see conflicting reports on things like this?
Well, not that often. Well, I mean, you see conflicting reports because, you know, listen, educated doctors can disagree, mm-hmm. just like educated experts can disagree as to interpreting the same facts, right?
Sure.
But usually the disagreement is about an angle of a bullet or angle of impact or things like that. But for two qualified medical doctors to look at the same body and have the same information and come to totally opposite conclusions, you know, I mean, we're really talking oranges and apples here, not different shades of apples. It's just so out of this world to have this kind of a disconnect between two doctors, presumably looking at the same type of medical evidence. Mm-hmm.
it's
very rare, Tony. I think it's very rare.
I mean,
to answer your question.
And how does one misconstrue a gunshot wound with a head injury? I mean, I could, as a layman, I could see me doing that, just looking at it going, oh, wow, look at that big gash in the person's head, and there's nothing else in it. I guess I could probably guess gunshot wound, but I could see it could also be, you know, an injury of slamming one's head into pavement or something. But that's me, because I don't do that for a living. So I could screw that up. But these are people where this is their job. So how do we go from initially it's a gunshot wound to it's just a head injury to it's a hit and run, but there's no evidence of hit and run? How do we have so many totally opposing views or, you know, opinions on this? Because it's hard to say fact when everyone has a different opinion. It's different opinions on this from the experts who were charged with determining this individual's cause of death initially.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, you're setting me up here for, I think, you know, a conclusion that we're all looking at, right? Mm-hmm. We're all smart people. Everybody out there in the world who has their head screwed on their shoulders can look at basic common sense. Mm-hmm. To answer your first question, how can you determine a gunshot wound to the head versus an impact? Well, very clearly, okay, let's get into the weeds of it a little bit. Now, if you have a gunshot wound to the head of, say, a shotgun, that is going to have a blast radius of impact zone that is going to be very large, okay? I've seen lots of, car accident victims with massive head trauma, people that have fallen from bucket trucks as electricians down 200 feet and impacted the ground. The appearance of a blunt force, maybe to a shotgun, you could possibly say there could be some appearances that are similar with the amount of skull that's gone and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I'll give you an example. I worked on a case down in Atlanta, Georgia, where this guy was walking down the highway and was in a dark road and was hit by accident, a true accidental hit.
Yeah.
And not really run, but a hit accident. And he was impacted at 35 miles an hour from behind. And not only was his head, pulverized with a massive fracture on the back of his head, but his leg was amputated during the impact. Mm-hmm. His shoes were 50 feet away. His pants were thrown off of his body. He had massive road rash burns on his body. And anybody out there has ever ridden a motorcycle, I laid down my motorcycle at 25 miles an hour in 2002 on a wet road in the metro parks. And I was wearing shorts. I laid it down at 25 miles. I had road rash on my left side from my knee up to my butt for about 6 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's at 25 miles an hour when I laid it down kind of gently, right?
Yeah.
I don't see the difference, it's so apparent to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say people are, corrupted or incompetent, possibly, something slipped through the cracks, just to give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm not claiming anybody did anything nefarious, but I think that there's questions that need to be answered as to why the disparity. I think we need to talk to Dr. Ernie Washington, and we need to talk to Dr. Aaron Purcell and look at their notes from their observation of Stephen Smith and, why the disconnect. I think those autopsy photographs, those crime scene photographs, those sheriff notes, those should be made public. They should be made public probably as part of the investigation, the criminal investigation that SLED's now doing. And I applaud SLED for doing that. And they've come out and made a statement dedicating, truth to the family. But I think at this point, all indications is this is a homicide. This was not a hit and run car accident. And those doctors need to, compare some notes for the benefit of truth and justice and, you know, see where the disconnection is here, Tony. I'm baffled by how far apart they are.
What's interesting, I mean, in cases like this, incompetency can sometimes masquerade itself as some sort of a cover-up, and cover-up can sometimes also masquerade itself as incompetency. The thing is, the determination is, it's one of the two. It has to be one of the two, because there's no other answer. If to have the sort of ruling on it initially, it is good now that they're taking a look at this in a totally different way. But it is baffling as to how initially that happened. And I think there needs to be some answers. Some people need to be held accountable as to why they made those rulings initially. And just, we need to figure that out. And if there was some sort of...
And if you want to speculate a little bit, Tony, I mean, let's get into the realm of just slightly speculation, because this investigation is being launched now as a result of the investigation that SLED did into Alex Murdaugh's murder of his son and his wife.
Which I'd still love to know how that happened.
Because it all happened very close by.
But what is the connection? That's the question.
What I read from SLED in their public release statement, they said that they learned new information throughout the course of their investigation into the patriarch Murdaugh, into his son and his wife's death. They learned something from that investigation that pointed them toward the Stephen Smith death case. Mm-hmm. And that one directly related to the other. And then that inquiry led to that body being exhumed. And the autopsy has already been performed just last week by an independent private medical examiner. I don't know who that is. But there's a lot of tremendous private forensic medical examiners out there that I work with regularly as part of my cases. And this person will find the truth. And like I said, 2 weeks ago, if you can remember, what that new autopsy is going to be looking for is fractures on other parts of the body. And what other injuries can they find that might point to a car accident, or some type of, related to that. And if they only find an injury to the back of the head, say only, eighth of an inch diameter crater hole in the back of the head or somewhere in the skull, and no injuries anywhere else on the body to the overall skeleton, I think then we've got a new investigation as to who shot Stephen Smith.
And with that being said, we're saying shot Stephen Smith. Has there been evidence of, other than the observation of this looking like a gunshot wound, do we have any way of confirming that it was a gunshot wound?
Well, I mean, yeah, you can. I mean, matter of fact, what I'm doing today when we get off the phone is I have two gel skeleton heads that are filled with simulated brain and blood and human musculature. And I'm going to be firing into the back of that skull with a gun and ammunition on another case, because I'm trying to test how bullets travel through the head, right? On this examination I'm doing for a different matter. What they could simply do is they could take a 3D model or a picture of the skull of Stephen Smith from the autopsy, measure it, model it in 3D, and then do exactly what I'm doing and take a gun and several of these skulls and shoot it and see if you can make that same fracture in the skull of Stephen Smith. And if you can match it up, well, now you have a very reasonable scientific probability that he was shot with a gun. And then there comes the next step. Now we're looking at a homicide by gunfire. You got to start weeding down the information logically, and you got to do your homework. You can't just say, oh, it looks like a bullet hole. Well, you got to do some testing to see, well, what kind of gun would make that bullet hole and under what conditions.
It'll be very interesting to see how this develops. I know they have two persons of interest at this point. Neither of them a Murdaugh. I want to say that. But it will be very interesting to see how this continues to evolve, because I'm quite surprised how far it's gotten with some fire being put behind it and the investigation actually taking place. I think we are going to end up here with someone actually being charged, I would guess, within the next 6 months.
Well, it's very interesting. And I want to, you know, just on a human level, you know, give my personal thoughts and prayers to Stephen Smith's mother. You know, this poor woman lost her son in a tragic way and seemingly has been, you know, kind of shuffled around as not an important player in this situation. I think, you know, all sympathies and anything that people can do out there to support her, I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, we should all try to help, just even if it's just, you know, our good wishes for justice. And this poor woman is, you know, gone without justice and without answers. And even if it was an accident, we need to find out conclusively, one way or the other, so that Stephen Smith's mother can find some peace.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Scott Roeder of Evidence Room, thank you so much for joining us on your podcast, Crime Scene Time Machine. What's going on over there?
Well, over at Crime Scene Time Machine podcast on Spotify and soon coming to all platforms, we put out a real light episode this past week after handling Bobby Kennedy's assassination and the Jeffrey Epstein murder. We put out a fun podcast this week just for easy listening about the movie A Few Good Men. We break down the crime inside the movie A Few Good Men, have a few laughs, and learn a little bit about trial law circa 1995.
Check it out. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any of our breaking updates and discussions on the cases we're following for you right here. Stay with us.